Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Humble request to the brothers that have time, or request to come forward, inshallah, the program will be beneficial for all of us. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. Qala Allahu 'azza wa jalla: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Respected honorable brothers, respected listeners, in speaking about the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, and for these few weeks after speaking on Surah Al-Kahf, inshallah we'll be talking about more detailed topic of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. But the first topic is just introduction. Now this introduction is a little different from the introduction I had given before during Paddy Paddy program, but obviously some things will be overlapping. The Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, why is it that they play a very important part in our life? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. There was the golden example in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which attracted the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, and they became what they became. Now, just to go through the synopsis and different aspects of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, just to give us an idea of exactly who Sahaba radiallahu majma'in were. You know, the kitab, it's a kitab that we all should be reading. This kitab is now translated in English, and I think we should be having discussions of that, reading it within our household too, because now it's available in English language, Hayat al-Sahaba. You know, this kitab here is a beautiful kitab. When I was reading it, and many are times when I was reading one subject, it would lead me to hours and hours of reading, because it's just amazing and how it touches your life. You know, the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, these companions, and inshallah we'll be going through today why these companions were so different from the companions of Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and why these companions were so different from the Hawariyin, the companions of Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and why these companions, although they were handful, you can count them on your fingertips, but despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them victorious? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory? Why were they so successful? And we find that in such a short span of time, they were able to, you know, conquer many parts of the world. So why were they able to do all this? And how were they able to construct Islam? Now these are some of the questions, inshallah, we will be talking about today. Now briefly speaking, obviously we need to know exactly who a sahaba is. The word sahib itself refers to companion. Sometimes the word sahib also refers to word to as a wife. You know, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدَى. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a partner. So sahiba sometimes refers is also referred to as wife. But now, what is sahabi? In the definition of sahabi, who is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A brief definition of that is anyone who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he died in the faith of iman. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even for a moment and he died in the state of iman, meaning he did not turn back from Islam. So over here, everyone is included. So sometimes, now obviously when you say, so a person who found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's company and he died in the state of iman. So whether the person narrated any hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or he did not narrate any hadith. Whether he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a longer period of time or whether he was in the company for a shorter period of time. Every person is included as long as he did not die. There was a very short, few people, we can't call them Sahabas, they had turned back to against Islam. They turned away from Islam after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, anyone who brought iman and who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and died in the condition of iman is referred to as a sahabi. And this is a very general definition, whether he narrated in hadith or not. Now, coming to this year, after mentioning just briefly about this, what we need to know is that sahaba radiallahu majma'in, they all had different ranks in them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in the Quran, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى والله بما تعملون خبير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that even though everyone is a sahabi because they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they have different ranks within the sahabas. So the two cannot be compared. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح. The sahabas who brought iman in the early days before the conquest of Mecca, these were the most difficult time when they had to migrate either to Abyssinia or they had to migrate to Medina Munawwara and save themselves from prosecution, etc. So these sahabas, obviously, they have a higher rank and status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, the people that spent money before the conquest of Mecca, they have a higher rank. So we will go through some of the categories of these sahabas, who they are. So from this ayat we learn that definitely within the sahaba radiallahu majma'in, there are different categories and different ranks. So many people came up with different categories. Hakim Nisapuri rahmatullahi alayh, he came up with 10 categories or 11 categories, and we will just briefly go through them. So he mentions that the first category is, there are 12 categories, and the first category are those sahabas, قَوْمٌ أَسْلَمُوا بِمَكَّةَ مِثْلَ أَبِي بَكْرُ وَعُمَرُ وَعُثْمَانُ وَعَلِي وَغَيْرِهِمْ. The first few sahabas who brought iman in early days of Islam in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So that's one category. The second category that he says, أَصْحَابُ دَارِ النَّدْوَى, the people of Darul Nadwa. So the first, now obviously, step by step. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, these were the first sahabas who brought iman. Khadija radiallahu anha. So these sahabas who brought iman first, so they brought iman at a time when it was so difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to openly say anything about Islam. So they brought iman. So imagine in what circumstances they brought iman, and what was the peer pressure like for them to bring iman. But despite that, they brought iman. So that's the first category. The second category is, Ashabu Dari Nadwa. Ashabu Dari Nadwa refers to Hadhrat Umar radiallahu anhu accepting Islam. I'm sure you may have heard of the story of Abu Umar radiallahu anhu accepting Islam. We're not going to go into that. But when he accepted Islam, before him accepting Islam, all the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, they had concealed their iman, and their Islam. So it wasn't known to the Meccans openly that he's a believer, he's not a believer, because of the fear of being tortured, etc. And they went through lots of persecution merely accepting Islam. So Umar radiallahu anhu was different. When he accepted Islam, he openly declared. He declared Islam at a time when everyone was concealing and hiding their iman just to save themselves from the torture. So when he accepted Islam, he just went. So he went to the place called Darul Nadwa. Now this was a place where the Meccans and the leaders used to gather, and their council was. And he openly went there, and he declared his Islam, and he said, "Whoever wants to challenge me, come and challenge me." So at that time, some people accepted Islam. So that's also a category of its own, because imagine you're part of the council and the pressure you need to go through. Despite that, you're accepting Islam and you openly accept Islam. So that's also another category that he classifies. The third category is Ashabul Badr. The third category is Al-Muhajirun ila al-Habasha. A group of Sahabas that went to Abyssinia. The torture was so immense and so harsh upon the Sahabas that they could not tolerate. As a result of that, many Ja'far and many of the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, they went to Abyssinia to seek protection and refuge. So that's the third category. The fourth category is Alladhina bayya'u Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 'inda al-Aqaba. I'm sure you may have heard of Aqaba. Aqaba, about Ansar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to preach Islam. And one of the best time he would preach Islam, or he would preach Islam throughout the year. But the most The best time to preach Islam would be when the people used to come during the Hajj time. So it was during the Mina days when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the Ansar because they had come for Hajj. So it was at that time he preached Islam. And when he preached Islam, about 12 Sahaba radiyallahu sahabas from Ansar, they accepted Islam. So 12 members accepted Islam. And they made pledge with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Musa bin Umair radiyallahu anhu was sent with them to teach Quran, etc. So that was, you know, so about 12 of them accepted Islam at that time. So that was Bay'at Aqabat al-Ula. So the, you know, Aqaba, you know, I don't know if you went to for Jamarat or not. So, you know, Jamarat al-Ula, Ukhra, Wusta. So they also say Aqaba because there was a valley there. So where the Jamarat is, that's basically Aqaba. There was, you know, Aqaba. So there was, you know, that place is called Aqaba, where that Jamarat is, the biggest one. So there, that's where these people accepted Islam. The subsequent year, you know, a group of 72 Sahabas, I believe about, there were about 2 to 3 women that came in them too. So when they came, and this time they came to bring Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina Munawwara. So 2 Aqabas took place. And at both of them, there were allegiance taken. That, you know, how they will cooperate as a believer, as a Muslim, how they will, you know, portray their Islam, and how they will preach Islam within the community. So he mentions, so Bay'at Aqabat al-Ula, that's, you know, the fourth category, and then the fifth one is obviously the second Bay'ah. And the sixth category, أول المهاجرين الذين وصلوا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بقبا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Medina Munawwara, before he can reach where? Medina. He reached a place called where? Quba. That was not part of Medina Munawwara. So when today it's part of Medina Munawwara. But before it was not part of Medina Munawwara. So when he reached to that place, Quba, some Sahabas who were not able to come, but they made it where, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can make it to where? Medina Munawwara. We find Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, the famous story of him. We had mentioned the story. It's a lengthy story. But Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, you know, he wanted to go. He was one of those Sahabis who was part of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he wanted to travel, but he was not able to because he was apprehended. So when he was apprehended, he was not able to go along with Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, when he told the Quraysh that what is it that you're after, they said that, you know, you became so rich. You know, you were nothing. You were absolutely nothing from the place you came from. And now when you stayed in Makkah Mukarrama, you know, you partnered in business and you prospered and you made so much money. And how can we just let you go like this? Right? So they're like, so Sayyid Rumi radiallahu anhu said, is it the money that you're after? So if I give you the money, will you let me go? They said, yeah. You know, obviously, non-believers, or especially the person who does not have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, his faith is more in money. So obviously they said, yeah, give us money and we will let you go. So he said, take all that money that I have. He told them exactly where his treasure was, and they took the money. As soon as he went to Quba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah, amongst the people there are some who sell whatever they have in exchange of Jannah, in exchange of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ. They sell themselves, their wealth and themselves, in exchange of what? The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as soon as he reached Medina Munawwara, Quba, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رَبِحَ الْبَيْءُ رَبِحَ الْبَيْءُ رَبِحَ الْبَيْءُ. Your transaction was very profitable. This was said to Sayyid radiallahu anhu. So some Sahabas, before they can go to Medina Munawwara, they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Quba from Makkah al-Mukarramah. So this was basically the sixth category, السابعة. And the seventh category is Ahlul Badr. Now being in Medina Munawwara, after that, the first battle in Islam that took place was Battle of Badr. Inshallah, we'll talk about this a little bit. But, you know, this Ashabul Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so much virtues. And, you know, especially for Battle of Badr. And in narrations, we find so many virtues and merits for those people that participated in this battle here. It was completely voluntary. You did not need to come. But despite that, the people that participated in it, obviously it was a big test for the believers. They barely had anything in it. But despite that, they participated in this battle here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions about them, اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. you know, do whatever you want because they are forgiven. So, you know, lots of virtues have been mentioned for the people that participate in Battle of Badr. The eighth category is al-muhajirun alladhina hajaru bayna Badr wal Hudaybiyah. Now, the eighth category is basically those Sahabas who came from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara between the time of Badr and between the time of Sulah Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So before that, in between that, they came. So Hakim al-Nisaburi rahmatullahi alayh, he classifies that to be the eighth category. The ninth category is Ahlu Bayti Ridwan. Ahlu Bay'ati Ridwan. Now obviously, the Sulah Hudaybiyah, when this took place, at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the people that took allegiance at that time, and the story is very long, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. You know, this was the most difficult moment for the, you know, Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, especially when they heard the news that Uthman radiallahu anhu, who went as a negotiator, he went to the Meccans to make sulah and to make peace and for them and for the Muslims to be accepted. But, you know, a rumor spread within the Muslims that, you know, Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated and he was killed. So when this was done, at that time, so the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, they were hurt, and obviously, they all took allegiance, and when they took allegiance at that time, so this is known to be under the tree. So, Bay'at Ridwan, it's a very lengthy story, but I'm not going into that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically makes mention of those people who took allegiance under that tree, on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the ninth category. And then Allah subhanahu, then the tenth category is al-muhajaratu bayn al-hudaybiyah wal-fathi. Between Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and before the conquest of Makkah, this is the 10th category. And Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu are amongst those Sahabas who accepted Islam in between Hudaybiyah and the conquest of Makkah. And then the 11th category is الَّذِينَ أَسْلَمُوا يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ وَهُمْ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ قُرَيْشٍ. Those Sahabas who accepted Islam at the time of conquest of Makkah. Obviously, when the Makkah, you know, was conquered, obviously Islam flourished. You know, we recited the ayat, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When you see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, and fath, what does fath mean? The great victory coming. You'll find hundreds of people coming, you know, groups and groups will be coming, entering into Islam. So, Abu Sufyan and many Quraysh accepted Islam at that time. So this is, you know, he makes this into an 11th category. And the 12th category, who is the 12th category? Is it As-Sibyan wa Atfal alladhina ra'aw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa yawm al-fathi wa fi hajjati al-wida'i wa ghayrihima. The children, many children, they were very young, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-years-old. So these children that saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the conquest of Makkah and during Hajjatul Wida. So these are the 10-12 categories of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. Along with that, you can also add on, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in every hadith kitab, you'll find a chapter called Manaqib al-Sahaba. You know, Babu Manaqib al-Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. So this is an exclusive, dedicated chapter. In every hadith kitab, you'll find that. So in that, you will find exclusive, you know, merits and virtues for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, exclusive merits for Umar radiallahu anhu, and not just these two sahabis, for many sahabas, and not to forget the women. Obviously, women are also part of it, and many merits are mentioned for both the sahabas and sahabiyas, both of them. And obviously, the very famous one that we find, the very famous narration is that, you know, Asharatum min al-Jannah, Asharum min al-Jannah, you know, 10 Sahabas that will be entering Jannah, which are known to be Asharatul Mubashara. Along with that, you know, we should not be confused that in one narration we find that these 10 Sahabas were given glad tidings of Jannah. But that does not mean other Sahabas were not. Ukasha was also given that, you know, without any hisab, without any reckoning, he'll be entered into Jannah. لا يسترقون ولا يسترقون وعلى الله يتوكلون, the very famous hadith. Nevertheless, so many of the Sahabas at different occasions, they were also given glad tidings of Jannah. So it's not only 10 Asharatul Mubashara, but there were other Sahabas too. So we find these type of merits mentioned in ahadith. So one thing that we need to understand, Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, they all had exclusive merits. So when we study hadith, we should also open up the chapters where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een, so we can get better understanding of Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een. Now, one thing that I found very interesting, you know, in one of this kitab here, Fada'il al-Sahaba, the kitab is called Fada'il al-Sahaba. There's something very interesting I found, and the difference between companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam versus the companions of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions of Isa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, subhanAllah, when I was reading this, then we can tell exactly who these companions were. It is mentioned that you will find a big difference. You know, skies and the earth and the sky difference between who? The Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, the companions of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam versus the companions of other Prophet. Now, let's go through this here. Now, we find Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam, Banu Israel. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know about him, right? He was a great prophet from Ulul Azm. فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, be patient like how, you know, those sahaba, those ambiyas were patient. Ulul Azm sahabas. So, Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst those great, ambiyas. No doubt about it. And he was given the ummah of Banu Israel, right? The children of Israel. Now, they were part of his ummah. Now, obviously, let's just understand who Banu Israel were. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them so much good manna wa salah coming down. Many, many different ni'mats coming down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions on one occasion that Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam, just to give you an idea, who Banu Israel, how they treated their prophet, and then we compare how Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in treated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just look at the difference here. So we find that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it, that, you know, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْنَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَّمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. وَقَالَ مُوسَى, Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes to the Mount Sinai. He goes there to get where? To get what? To speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the revelation, to get the kitab. He goes there, and he went there for 30 days, and then he completed 40 days, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. At that time, he told his brother, who? Harun ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam. He was also a prophet, Harun alayhi salam. So, وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِيَقِيهِ هَارُونَ اخْلُفْنِي فِي قَوْمِي وَأَصْلِحْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. You know, he made him in charge. So you look after my nation, you look after my people, and make sure they don't deviate. So, when he went, وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ حُلِقِهِمْ عِجْلًا جَسَدَ لَهُ خُوَاهُ. Prophet is going somewhere to get something noble, and his status are being elevated. He's a prophet, and you know, just imagine what kind of people they were, that they were so ungrateful to the prophet itself. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, you know, that they killed many anbiyas. So this is the nation Banu Israel was. So what happens? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is going there to get the kitab, but these people cannot even wait. Immediately what they do? Oh, Musa is taking too long. He's taking too long. وَاتَّخَذَ قَوْمُ مُوسَى, Musa's قَوْم, and his people made, immediately who did they make? They made a calf into what? Their deity. Right? عِجْلَ جَسَدَ لَهُ خُوَار, أَلَمْ يَرُوا أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَا يَهْدِيهِمْ سَبِيلًا اتَّخَذُوهُ وَكَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ. You couldn't even see that this, you know, this calf can't even talk properly, cannot do anything. But they made this into what? Their deity, and they started worshipping that. They couldn't even wait till Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam comes. Now, Musa ala Nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came back, he was really frustrated. How can his people do this? You know, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Oh my people, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Why don't you remember? Now look at this. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to us. He was the only prophet that came to us. He was the only prophet that came to Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. But Banu Israel, how many prophets came to them? Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ يُجَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ. O Banu Israel, O children of Israel, how many prophets came to you? How many people? Look at the ni'mat and blessing of Allah. Not one prophet, many prophets came to you. وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made you powerful leaders. Muluka, kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored you so much. وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And came to you. Allah gave you that what Allah ta'ala did not give other people. Imagine, you know, food coming from the heavens. You don't need to do anything. And then they still got bored. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so much. So at one occasion, Ya qawmi dukhulul ardh al muqaddasah allati kataba Allah lakum. When they were traveling with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, at one occasion, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, you know, oh my people, enter into this land here. If this is a muqaddasah, this is a blessed land, I want all of you to enter into this land. وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ And do not turn against your back. On your back, do not turn away from this place, but keep on going inside this locality. فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ Because if you turn back, you will be losers. So what did they do? They said, يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمٌ جَبَّارِينَ Oh Musa, now look at this here. He is a prophet, and look at his companions. What are his companions saying? That his companions are saying, إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمٌ جَبَّارِينَ Oh Prophet Musa, oh, powerful nation is in there, you know, big bullies are in here, powerful people are here, you know, we're weak, you know, we won't be able to fight them, they're gonna eat us up, and they're gonna beat us up, they're gonna torture us, whatnot. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينِ يَخَافُونَ نَعْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا You know, two men that had the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ فَإِنْ دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ As soon as you enter, inshallah you will succeed, and you will be dominant. So, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى What did they say? I'm saying this for a reason, because I will mention exactly the same thing what the Sahaba said. So, what did they say? إِنَّا لَنَّدْخُلَهَا Oh Musa, no, we don't have the himmat. We don't have the courage. إِنَّا لَنَّدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا As long as these people are inside, we will never go. We will never go. You will stay outside. We will never go inside. Now, obviously, this was who? The companions of who? Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. This was their response. Now let's talk about they basically said, "Inna lana dhuhul abad ma adamu fiha fatham anta rabbuka faqatila inna hauna qa'ilun." We're not going to go inside. We want you and your brother to go and fight everyone. And when you guys finish the job, then we will come. Right? So you do all the hard work, and then inshallah we will come and eat with you. You know, in today's time, you know, you open the masjid, you do all the hard work, you put everything, and inshallah when the masjid is done, then inshallah we'll be part of the committee, we'll be part of everything, and we'll join everything. So we don't want to take part in the hard work. But when it comes to eating foods, inshallah we'll be part of it. So that's basically the nature of people, right? They don't want to be part of the hard work, but when it comes to take the benefit from it, then obviously everyone wants to be part of it. That's exactly what the, you know, message was from the companion of Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at the difference between, now this was the companion of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. وَقَدْ لَاقُوا عَدُوَّهُمْ عَلَى غَيْرِ مِعَادٍ They faced the enemy at a time, it's not even planned. Badr, it was not even planned. It just happened. It just happened out of nowhere. وَغَيْرِ إِسْتِعْدَادٍ Without any preparation, nothing. فَوَقَفَ فِيهِمْ خَطِيبًا صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ He's addressing the Sahaba رضي الله مجمعين وَقَالَ لَهُمْ Now, I'm sure you have the picture of the Bani Israel. Now look at the Sahaba رضي الله مجمعين. What happened? أَشِيرُوا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ He's making mashwara. أَشِيرُوا عَلَيَّ He's making, oh give me, you know, counsel. Sahaba Rasulullah is making mashwara with them. That look, we need to face these people here, our enemy. And this is the problem we have. What do you suggest? فَقَامَ الصِّدِّيقِ Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq stands up. وَأَحْسَنَ الْقَوْلِ And he said the best of words. ثُمَّ قَامُ عُمَرُ Umar stands up and he says the best of words. فَقَالَ And then after that, ثُمَّ قَامَ الْمِقْدَارِ بْنُ عَمَرُ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِقْدَارِ بْنُ عَمَرُ stands up. And what does he say? إِمْضِي لِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ فَنَحْنُ مَعَكَ O Prophet of Allah, go ahead, we are with you. To the T, we are with you all, you know, completely. Wallahi, la naqulu laka, O Prophet of Allah, we will never say to you, we will never say to you, kama qalat banu Israel, what banu Israel said to Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. What did Musa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam to say? Fadhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila. Musa's people, you know, banu Israel, they retorted and they said, you and your, you know, brother go and you take care of the job, we will not be partnered with you. But, walakin, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا معكما مقاتلون You know, O Prophet of Allah, we are with you and we will not leave you alone. We will support you regardless what happens, but we will be with you. فوالذي بعثك بالحق لو سبت بنا إلى برك الغمار لجادلنا معك دونه حتى تبلغه They mention مقدار بن أسود رضي الله عنه when he stands up such a beautiful, he says لو سبت بنا Even if you take us to Barkul Ghamal, if you take us far distance, wherever you take us, We are with you. We will not, you know, turn back at all. We will be with you right through and through. ثُمَّ قَامَ السَّعْدُ بْنُ مَعَاذ. سَعْدُ بْنُ مَعَاذ رضي الله عنه. He was the leader of the Ansar, of one of the parties of Ansar. He stands up and he says, وَاللَّهِ لَكَأَنَّكَ تُرِيدُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh Rasulullah, you know, from your message, it seems that you want us. You're intending for us. So what does he say? He says, أَجَلْ قَالَ قَدْ آمَنَّا بِكَ وَصَدَّقْنَاكَ. Oh, so, who stands up? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He stands up. Oh, Prophet of Allah, we bring full faith on you. وَصَدَّقْنَاكَ. We have accepted your message. وَشَهِدَنَا أَنَّ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. And we have testified that whatever you have brought is absolutely true. There is no shadow doubt in it. وَأَعْطَيْنَاكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَهُودُنَا وَمَوَاثِيقِنَا عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. And we promise you, we take allegiance upon you, that we will listen to you, we will obey you, we will be obedient to you. فَمْضِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Go ahead. لِمَا أَرَدْتَ فَنَحْنُ مَعَكَ وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَكِّ. لَوِ اسْتَعَرَضْتَ بِنَا. You know, if you demand from us, هَذَا الْبَحْرَ, that go into the sea here. فَخُضْتَهُ, فَخُضْتَهُ, لَخَضْنَاهُ. You know, if you tell us to dive into the sea here, we will dive into the sea here. You know, مَا تَخَلَّفَ مِنَّا رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. Not a single person from the Ansar, not a single person from amongst us, you know, we will turn back. We will dive into the sea if you tell us to dive into the sea here. وَمَا نَكْرَهُ أَن تَلْقَى بِنَا عَدُوَّنَا غَدًا. And we don't care what enemy we have to face. We are with you through and through. This was the message of who? Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, look at the comparison between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Banu Israel. And obviously, the story carries on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy. And obviously, he made lots of dua. These were the true people. This was a true jama'at. They were very handful. But despite that, the unity, you know, that faith that they had in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it took them to great distance. Now, my brothers, this was who? We talked about who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talked about the companion of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, just to give you an idea, look at the companion of Isa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. At the time of Isa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah ta'ala sent down so much mercy upon the people of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. They were given every single thing. And Allahu Akbar, so much leniency in their madhab, in their religion. You know, things were a little strict in the Shariat of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but things were so lenient in the Shariat of Isa alayhi nabiyyin alayhi salatu wasalam. But despite that, Hawariyun, إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ, what did they say? Ya Isa ibn Maryam, look what they're saying. Ya Isa ibn Maryam, هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَن يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. They're asking Isa, what kind of faith they have in Isa alayhi nabiyyin salatu wasalam. What are they saying? Oh, Isa, is your Lord able to, you know, bring down, you know, what do you call, table of food from the heavens? هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ يُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Table laden of food from the heavens? Is your Lord able to do this? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam saying, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you have firm faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say things like that. You know, the natural system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt that. You know, we look for miracles. You know, miracles is from Allah. It's a gift of Allah. But we have to, you know, adopt a normal system. You have to go out and work. You know, sitting home and, you know, just expecting miracles to come, it never happened. It's a gift from Allah. It may happen, it may not happen. But the system is you work and you earn money. Nevertheless, so the system is not that, you know, you will see fruits coming down from the heavens. That's not the normal system. Allah has created a different system. What is the system? The rain comes down. The earth grows crops. It grows fruits, whatnot. And we take, you know, benefit from it. قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. Oh Isa, oh Prophet, our Prophet, you know, we intend to eat from that. And وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا. We want to content our heart. We want to get more satisfaction in our heart. وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدَ صَدَقَتَنَا. And we want to know. We want to know that you have spoken the truth. What you have said is the truth. This is the translation of Quran. This is exactly what the Quran is saying about them. وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And we will testify to whatever we see. Who said this? Isa ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, Hawariyin. Now look at the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. When you find the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, every occasion, you will never find one Sahabi وهذا لم يكن في يوم من الأيام من صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهم لم يسألوه معجزة أو شيئا من ذلك والنصوص بين يديك. You know, you will never find any companion asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a single miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed every sahaba with so many miracles, but they never demanded a single miracle from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They went through the most hardship and most difficult time, but despite that they persevered and they didn't ask anything. And obviously many stories are like that. And my brothers, we are not only talking about who? We are not only talking about the sahaba being men. But even the women folk, their iman and their companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just as high. You know, we find on one occasion, we find a woman, you know, her husband passed away. وَقَدْ أُصِيبَ زَوْجُهَا وَأَبُوهَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأُحَدٍ. At the occasion of Uhud, in the battle of Uhud, the husband has left this world. She, you know, he has passed away. But this woman here, she is more concerned about who? The beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Till she did not find out and she did not know what the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, she was not content. Even though she had heard about the sad news of her husband. My brothers, these were sahaba radiallahu majma'in. This is the difference between the companions of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam versus the companions of other ummah, be it Isa alayhi salatu wasalam or be it Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and other anbiyas. That is why we see such great success and we still see the legacy of theirs being carried on. Now my brothers, obviously that, you know, the time can carry on and on and there's so much that could be said, but there's one or two things that I really wanted to mention and give you an idea that why was it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the sahaba radiyallahu majma'in so victorious. And they were the dominant, even though they hardly had anything. Why was it? You know, the Quran speaks so much about them that we cannot even imagine. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ رَسُولُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. If you look at the munafiqeen, what did they say? They, you know, when they saw Ahzab, when they saw the army, they said that Allah and His Prophet only promised of a deception. Allah's promise and His Prophet's promise is only deception. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the same verse. He repeats the same verse for who? Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. And when they see it, they are also seeing munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and the sahabas, they're both seeing the same thing. But their iman is totally different. Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, when they are seeing the enemies, when they are seeing the army, and yet they have absolutely nothing with them, you know what they're saying? This is exactly what Allah has promised. This is exactly what Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised. And we stay firm with it. Regardless, you know, even though we don't see the victory, we don't see any sign of victory, but we have firm faith in it. These were who Sahaba radiallahu majma'in were. Today what I want to give a good picture of is Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. You know, there is a saying in Arabic language. Al-fadlu bima shahidat al-a'da'u. Al-fadlu bima shahidat al-a'da'u. You know, true merits are only conceded by your enemies and the people who don't like you. I'll just use my own example here. You know, the people that are very close to me, they're attached to me, they will praise me, they will make, you know, say a lot of things about me. You know, I'm like this, whatnot. But the people that don't like me, but despite that they are forced to concede and accept that definitely this is the truth. That whatever is in this person, yes, we admit to this. Abu Sufyan, you know, when he was giving the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Sham, Syria, to Heraclius, you know, when Heraclius, you know, asked him plenty of questions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but despite that, you know, he was forced, even though he wanted to twist his tongue and speak negative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Heraclius said, did he ever spoke any lie? So Abu Sufyan said, not yet. What did he say? Not yet. Because he was an enemy at that time. But he was forced to concede that, you know, who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his characters. So my brothers, when your opposition, when they are forced to admit your merits, Al-fadlu bima shahidatil a'da'u. This is a great achievement. So this is exactly what I want to, discuss. There are quite a few. I don't have the time to go into, but I request every one of you to pick up Hayatul Sahaba, learn about, study the different aspects from their social life, from their marital life, from, you know, inheritance, from whatever it may be, I can guarantee you, I can challenge you in terms of their generosity, in terms of their faith, in terms of their brotherhood, in terms of their unity, you name it, in every aspect, every noble quality that you can think of, every good quality you can think of, I can challenge you that you'll never find, you will never ever find a person like Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. You will never find anyone like Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And I can say this by reading a little bit. I want you to, I also invite you that we also read about Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. My beloved youngsters, learn about Sahabas. You will get civilization. You will get, you know, you will see goodness in you. Not only, you know, it's not that we need to seek knowledge. You know, many times, subhanAllah, it hurts me. You know, in today's time, if I ask a youngster, why are you doing engineering school? Why are you doing medicine school? Why? You know, off his head, why? Making money. Job. That's the only thing that people have in their mind. It's not civilization. You know, you get knowledge. Your knowledge is not just about making money. You don't need to have money to be a civilized person. You know, you can be a good man, you can be a good person. You don't need to be rich to be a good person. You know, we need to seek knowledge for the right purpose. You know, many times you find, you know, people are making good money. But look at their characters. They're still cunning people, ripping people out, cheating people, you know, doing corrupted businesses, you know, Ponzi schemes and many different happening. But you find these people to be accountant. You find these people to be, you know, such with high degrees. But there's no morals in them. Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. You pick up their life. Any Sahabas you learn about them, inshallah will benefit you. I invite every one of you to learn about Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in and see the benefit penetrating into your hearts and into your life, and you will see that golden change that you will never, you would have never imagined. Let me speak about one or two, you know, people here. You know, how it was mentioned, there's so many, you know, I printed out quite a bit, but I don't think I'll be able to go through all of them. But, you know, let me mention about Heraclius, what he had to say. You know, Heraclius, it is mentioned, Ahmad ibn Marwan al-Maliki, he mentions this, and he said, كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يثبت لهم العدو فواق نافتين. The strength, because of the strength of Iman, they're so powerful. Now Heraclius, you know, his army, you know, Heraclius or Hercules, whatever you call him, you know, his army, the Roman army was so powerful because they were their superpower at that time. So it is mentioned, this narrator is mentioning that any army that they went towards, they would not, the opposition, the enemies who were combating the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they would not even be able to resist fuwaqa naqatin. Small amount. You know what fuwaqa naqatin means? Fuwaqa naqatin. You know, this word is used in hadith. Fuwaqa naqatin means a very short time. It's a metaphor to meaning for a very short time. What fuwaqa naqatin means is, you know, a camel, when you squeeze a camel and the milk comes out, and when you milk a camel, so that short time, you know, when you go visit a sick person, how long are you supposed to be going for? 1 hour, 2 hours? No. When you visit a sick person, al-iyadatu fuwaqa naqatin. When you visit a sick person, it comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that fuwaqa naqatin, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, as long as it takes to milk a camel, that's it. You don't need to go, it takes, you know, 1 hour out, 2 hour out, and go with bouquet of flowers and whatnot, all the fancy things. You know, all these things have become obstacles for us to accomplish a great sunnah. Nevertheless, that's a topic on its own. But what does Hercules say? You know, he said, he called his people, فَقَالَ هِرَقْلُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ إِنْتَاقِيَّ. He was not even in, a place where, you know, where his army was. He was in Taqiyya, he was in a different place. So when he got the news that his army was defeated, he said, وَيْلَكُمْ أَخْبِرُونِي عَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ أَلَيْسُوا بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ. He said, woe unto you people, what's wrong with you? So he's addressing his army. Hercules is addressing his army. You know, powerful army, Roman army. You know, he's addressing them. And he says, you know, how were you defeated? He says, you know, أَلَيْسُوا بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ. Were they not human beings just like you? You're human beings, they're human beings. What's the difference between them? قَالُوا بَلَى. قَالَ أَفَأَنْتُمْ أَكْثَرُ أَمْ هُمْ. Who was more? Were you more or they were more? So what did they say? قَالُوا بَلْ نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْهُمْ أَضْعَافًا فِي كُلِّ مَوْطِنٍ. We were plenty and plenty of times more than who? Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. Many folds. قَالَ فَمَا بَعْلُكُمْ تَنْهَزِمُونَ. So what is wrong with you? How do you come defeated? In such a short span of time, you're defeated already? So then, فَقَالَ شَيْخٌ مِّنْ عُظَمَائِهِمْ. You know, one wise person stands up from the army of Roman army, and he stands up and he says, and he addresses Hercules and he says, مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ. مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ. They have a special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we don't have. What was the first thing that he mentioned? This is the person from the Roman army. He is mentioning to Hercules, the leader, he's mentioning to them, مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ. These are those people who make their special connection. They stand up at night and make... These are those special people that make connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. They stand up in tahajjud and make that special connection. And then, وَيَصُومُونَ النَّهَارِ. And during the day they're fasting. At night they're before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in praying, in supplicating to Allah, standing up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the day they are fasting. وَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ. Any promise that they make, they fulfill their promise to the T. They don't break any promise. They don't breach the promise. They fulfill the promises. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And they enjoin people to do good things. They encourage each other. They motivate each other to do good things. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they stop people. They, in a very nice, polite way, they ask the people to stop doing sins and doing wrong things. وَيَتَنَاصَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّا. And then he mentions that what do we do? So these are the people who have special connection. It's not a matter of what, you know, quantity. It's not a matter of population and ammunition what you have. It's the matter of your connection with your Lord. That deep connection that you have. And then he mentions, oh Hercules, listen to this very clearly. Look what we do. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّا نَشْرَبُ الْخَمَرِ. These people are standing before Allah, and we at night, we're just partying and drinking wine and wine and wine. He mentions, وَنَزْنِي وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ. You know, these people are standing before Allah and fasting, but we are doing zina. We are doing zina, we're doing this year. وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ. And we're taking conveyance and we're stealing things from people, and we're embarking on that, you know, and we're traveling on that. And then after, وَنَنْقُضُ الْعَهْدَ. And we make promises, but we break our promises. And then we say, وَنَغْصَبُ. And we steal things from people. وَنَظْلِمْ وَنُظْلِمْ. And we oppress people. We oppress ourselves, and we are oppressing other people. وَنَأْمُرُ بِالسُّخْطِ. وَنَنْهَى عَمَّا يَرْضُ اللَّهِ. And we tell people those things which will draw the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَنْهَى عَمَّا يَرْضُ اللَّهِ. And we stop people from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with. وَنُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And we cause corruption on the surface, on the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the remarks of a wise person from the army of Hercules. When he said this, قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا. Hercules immediately said, you know, he conceded, he immediately accepted, and he said, قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا. Verily have you spoken the truth. My brothers, you know, I don't have the time to go into, but I can only make reference that, you know, there are many stories like this. We find, you know, there's a beautiful story that of a Marikusin. You know, the king of China, you know, when he was requested a special army from the Persians. So Persian, Yazdijard. Yazdijard was the king of the Persia. And he requested a special army from China to come down. So, you know, before the army can come down, or before anything can happen, he requested special description of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, who they were, what they were. When he went through the whole story, when he understood the message, he said that never. If I come down, my kingdom, you know, I can't translate this because the time is up here. He says that, you know, my kingdom, even though my kingdom is so vast, you look at China, from China all the way to Persia, look at this kingdom here. My army stretches right from China all the way to Persia. That's how big my army is. And that's how powerful my army is. But because of the qualities that the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in have, I fear that if I was to attack them, they will also, you know, they will also apprehend me and defeat me. So, you know, you stay where you are, and I stay where I am. So my brother, you know, we understand the Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, why were they different? They had that special connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I draw your attention, my attention, everyone's attention. Understand the lifestyle of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, and you will definitely be successful in this world. And hereafter, my brothers, a lot could be said, but obviously the time does not allow me to go into, but inshallah we will have, you know, the flyers were up by Brother Musab, and we will be talking about, you know, a few sahabas before Ramadan comes, specifically about, you know, some of the sahabas, like Abdullah ibn Sur radiallahu anhu, and how the fiqh, you know, came up and whatnot. So different topics of it. But obviously we are not able to touch every topic of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. It will take you years and years to talk about every subject of Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. All I can say is have halaqa, sit down and learn about Sahaba radiallahu majma'in, and you'll see a great benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Just before we conclude, there's one or two announcements. And the first announcement is that Sheikh Abdul Hamid, hafizahullah ta'ala, a great scholar from South Africa, he's one of those renowned, esteemed scholars of South Africa. He is in Toronto. He's only here for a few days. He'll be leaving on Tuesday. So we are fortunate to have a special program we've kept with him. Obviously he's a great scholar who actually had the companionship of great, great scholars in the past. He himself is about 66, 68 years old. So, he's a principal of Azadville Institute, where many, many scholars have graduated from that place. Many shuyukh, mashayikh have graduated from that place. He's the founder of that place. So he will be coming here. And mashallah, he's a very good speaker. He will be coming here on Sunday. So, alhamdulillah, we are fortunate. Masjid Darul Salam was the only masjid that was fortunate to have a special program with him. So this program will be taking place Sunday morning. I request every one of you, your sleeping habits, put your sleeping habits to a side. Look at Sahabas. They used to stay awake at night. And today we sleep at 12 o'clock at night. We stay awake at night too, but we do all these foolish things. And then just before Fajr time comes in and we go to sleep. And we stay awake till we sleep till when? Past Zuhr, way past Zuhr. We only wake up 4 o'clock. And then after when you wake up at that time, there was a study done. I don't have time to go into, but someone sent me an email. And the amount of barakah. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a topic on its own. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that, in fil bukur, Allahumma barik lana fi bukurina. Wallah give us barakah in our morning time. There's a special study done that, how you're supposed to be spending your morning. And the most productive time is the morning time and how you're supposed to be starting off. And it's a beautiful study done, obviously by non-Muslims. And it concurs to exactly what Islam is saying. And in part of that was obviously reciting. And obviously, obviously we recite Quran at that time. So having some kind of connection with the religion. Nevertheless, it's a precious time. So this program that will be taking place will be from 10 to 1. It's a wonderful program. Many brothers, ulama have come from New York and other places just to meet him. So how unfortunate can we be living in the community? We cannot sacrifice and come and be part of this program here. So I encourage every one of you sitting here, be a part of the process of this program here. And this program will take place when? 10 to 1. When? On Sunday. Right? So inshallah we can make the sacrifice and also pass this message to who? Other friends who are not able to come and take benefit from, these great mashayikh who are here. We will not get these opportunities later. And the second thing is that he will have his wife, his family. She's a very pious person, very religious person. And she will be having a program, a special program. I personally, that family is a very religious family. Her wife's family, his wife's family is a very religious family. I don't know if you know the story of just a couple of years ago in South Africa, there was a story of one sheikh. Obviously, these deaths, only Allah, it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as he came down, he descended from the pulpit and he delivered his khutbah and he was about to lead Salat Jummah prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. And he was a very pious person. So obviously, Mulana's family, his wife, is basically the sister of that Mulana Qasim Ali. His name was Mulana Qasim Ali. Nevertheless, they come from a Sayyid family, very pious person. So I recommend all your women folk to participate in a special program which will be taking place after Dhuhr Salat. And this will be dedicated for the sisters. So take, benefit from a pious woman like that. And there will be a general program on Sunday after Maghrib Salat in the same masjid here. So we have three programs. One is a special program of Arba'een of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh. Then we have a special women's program after Dhuhr Salat. And then we have a general program by the same Sheikh Abdul Hamid, after Maghrib Salat in this masjid here. So spread the word. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. And may Allah ta'ala guide us. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله إليك يرجو الأمر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا رب لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم والله pardon our sins والله forgive our sins يا الله يا الله يا الله indeed we have wronged ourselves يا الله we have committed sins يا الله in the darkness of night يا الله and in the يا الله in the bright daylight يا الله we have committed sins يا الله only you know يا الله what we have done. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive every one of us. Ya Allah, especially in these days, Ya Allah, we are put to test, Ya Allah, with different temptations and trials. Ya Allah, especially the young ones, Ya Allah, it has become so difficult upon them to preserve their iman. Ya Allah, it is like ice melting, Ya Allah, in a scorching heat. Ya Allah, that's how our iman has become. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to protect our iman, preserve our iman, let it not melt away, Ya Allah, from all these different fitnas that are coming, Ya Allah, upon us. Ya Allah, save every one of us. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all these youngsters that took their time out to come to this program, Ya Allah, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, many youngsters came from far and wide. Ya Allah, accept their coming here. Ya Allah, let this program be a means of hidayah and guidance for every one of us. Ya Allah, let this program be a means of guidance, Ya Allah, for this whole community. Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah, from the wrong path. Ya Allah, many youngsters, Ya Allah, are going astray. Ya Allah, taking the path of drugs, Ya Allah, and other violence. Ya Allah, save every one of us. Ya Allah, save every one of us from such companies, Ya Allah, which lead us away from the straight path. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.